Thank you guys for leading us to turn our hearts and our souls to the Lord in worship. We appreciate that. I'm going to start this morning by apologizing for something that happened this week that you don't know is my fault. But you can put that picture up, Scott. Do you know what this is? We were supposed to get snow this week, and the news didn't even say we were supposed to get snow this week, but I follow some weather geeks on Twitter. Does anybody follow weather geeks on Twitter? See, it's just me. Like, this is my fault, because I get so excited when it says that it's going to snow, and they predicted that we were not going to get an inch to a decimeter. We were going to get like 4 to 6 inches right through Raleigh, and they were right in that down by Sanford and stuff, they got it, and then up northeast of us, they got it, but then that thing in the middle, they called a snow hole. I am from Wisconsin. I have a lot of experience with snow. There is no such thing as a snow hole. They made that up on a fly because they cannot explain this. But I think what's happened is that I've made snow such an idol that the Lord decided that he needed to discipline me. And you are like the sailors that were on the boat with Jonah, experiencing the storm because you were too close to me. And so if you need to throw me over, I completely understand. And I'm trying to get better at this. This is one of my New Year's resolutions, is to not obsess so much over the snow when it happens, but it was horribly disappointing. It's hot in here this morning. I think it's hot in here because it's so cold outside that our thing can't handle it, and it just freaked out, and it's just pumping heat in here. So we apologize for that. How many people made a New Year's resolution this week? Okay, well, you guys should make some New Year's resolutions because you just don't have it that well together, okay? This is the time of year where people make New Year's resolutions, and that's great. You know, you kind of think intuitively, it's a good breaking point, and you think, I don't really like where I'm headed. If something doesn't change, it's not going to be good, so I try and make a change. New Year's resolutions reflect deeper stuff about you. They really reflect, like, who you think you are and what's really important to you and why you think you exist and where you think you're supposed to be going and how you're going to get there and how you need to change that. You don't really think through all that stuff. You just think, if I don't stop eating so much candy, I'm going to weigh 600 pounds by March, and so I need to stop. Or you think, I need to read a book this year, or I need to stop looking at my phone or the internet so much, or I need to join 125 of my closest friends and read through the Bible in a year. So way to go for those of you that have joined up with that challenge. That's pretty exciting. But you don't think through it, like, you know, in these really, really deep ways. Last year as a church, a little over a year ago, we turned 10 as a church. And that was an opportunity for us to kind of take a look at where we're going, how we feel about that, and what changes we want to make. And so we made some changes, but we did go through the whole process of thinking through, okay, who are we as a church? What matters the most to us as a church? What are our values? Why do we exist? What's our mission? Where are we going? What's our vision for the future? And how are we getting there? What's our strategy? And we went through that process and decided to make some resolutions to change the way that we're doing some things. And so this morning, that's really what we're going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about the big picture of it. And so it's a lot, and I am, it's a lot of information. I don't expect you to hang on to all that information, but it's going to be a big picture type of day, driving to, here are some things we're going to be changing about the way that we do things, and those are things that you do need to know. If you're new to Oak City Church, it's a great morning for you to be here to get really the big picture view of who we are and where we're going and how you can be a part of that. If you're old, you're going to hear some stuff that you already heard, but then you're going to hear it phrased in a little bit different way, and then you're going to understand some changes in the way that we're doing things. So I'm going to go through these five questions. Who are we? What matters most to us as a church? Why do we exist as a church? Where are we headed? And how are we getting there? And I'm going to move through those pretty quickly. So who are we? Church, if you've been here, who are we? This is our language that we've used forever. Who are we? Okay, you should sound more excited about, but that's, you're right. We are a family of learners, lovers, and givers sent. And we're that because that's who we are in Christ. That's what God makes true about us when you get into relationship with Christ. So we are a family. We've been adopted into the family of God. This is what the Bible says is true about us as individuals, that we were spiritual rebels who did not want to let God be God in our life or our world, but we wanted to be God ourselves and have control over everything instead of giving him control over everything. We're spiritual orphans by our own choice, but he pursued us, he wooed us, he paid for us, and he adopted us into the family of God. And that is the good news of the gospel. Paul at one point says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this can be hard stuff for us to hear and grasp, but while we didn't want to have anything to do with him, He pursued us, sent his son for us, loved us, and died for us. Paul in another place says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, because of his great mercy towards us, made us alive together with Christ. He did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves and adopted us into his family. This can be difficult. It reminded me of this anecdote I've heard a handful of times about a guy named G.K. Chesterton. He's a famous British dead guy who lived about 100 years ago, and he was a journalist, a writer, philosopher, a theologian at times. And he responded to an article in one of the great London newspapers, The Times. They wrote an article that said, what is wrong with the world? And they asked people to write in and answer that question, what's wrong with the world? And so Chesterton famously replied to them, and people knew who he was when he wrote this in, said, dear sirs, I am sincerely G.K. Chesterton. He said, this is where we start understanding the problems of the world is right in here. And that the reason that sticks out is because it's so different from the way that we normally respond and hear people respond. How do we normally respond to that? What's wrong with the world? They are. You know, they are. It starts there. But he said it starts here. And that is, you know, what you need to believe, to take in the gospel, that you needed God to do something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. And that's inescapable when you read the Bible and start being honest with yourself about what it says. So we're family because God the Father adopted us into his family. The only reason this group of people is here together today in this room is because of the person and work of Jesus on our behalf. And so we are brothers and sisters, sons and daughters in Christ. We're family. We're learners of God's story and our place in it. And so we need that gospel, that story, to go deeper and deeper and deeper because it will explain our hearts, our minds, our motivations, and our actions. But it's going to explain it a lot of times in ways that are totally counterintuitive to us because we have a hard time admitting what's true about us. It's so ingrained in us that we have the right to do whatever we want, whenever we want it. And the gospel says something different. It says because Jesus gave up his rights on our behalf, then he calls us and he frees us and enables us to give up our rights on behalf of the people around us. And that's the way that we were made to live and the best way that all this is going to work out. And that's so countercultural that you need to learn that over and over in deeper ways, applied to different areas of your life. So we're learners of God's story, the gospel, and our place in it. We're lovers of God and everything he's created. You know, the great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. We're born to love. We're born to be in relationship. We're born to love and to receive love with God and with each other. And St. Augustine has said, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him. And Augustine talked about disordered loves, how we'll love the wrong things because he didn't write the song, but we're looking for love in all the wrong places, you know? And so we do that. There is another British guy named Russell Brand, who I really don't know much about, and it's really sketchy in some ways, but I got to know a few years ago because he put out this 6-7 minute YouTube video on how pornography has like disabled his ability to have real relationships with women. And he was so brutally honest, and that's what was so surprising about it. It's just not a Christian, if you know anything about him, obviously, but he might be now, but I'm not sure. But he, what I'm going to say in a minute, but he was just so honest about it, and that seemed to be so rare about how tragic and destructive it was. Well, there was an article this week I saw in Relevant Magazine, which is a Christian magazine, talking about how he's been advocating that the world needs the teachings of Jesus more than it's ever needed the teachings of Jesus. And I'm like, what? You know? And so then I read the article, and he's dealt with several addictions in his life, but he said this. He said, there's a famous quote, every man who knocks on a brothel door is looking for God. He said, crack houses, these dens of suffering and illicit activity, they're all people trying to feel good, trying to feel connected, trying to escape. People are trying to get out of their own heads. And he said to me, that's spiritual. There's a spiritual impetus behind that. Humanity is metaphorically knocking on a brothel door in that they're looking for fulfillment in things that will only leave them empty, and because instant but quickly fleeting gratification is always at our fingertips. And so here he says, he cites Amazon Prime, Instagram likes, pornography, text messages, all the things that promise it right now. He says, we've become addicted to those. And he gets it. Our hearts are restless. His heart is restless until it rests in the one that made him, in the Lord. And I feel like he's on that journey towards that, surprisingly. He gets it. We're made to love and be loved. And when we find that in the wrong places, it's destructive to us. We're lovers of God and everything that he's created. We're givers of all that he's given us. And so we're made in the image of God, who's a giver, who's given us life, who's given us purpose, who's given us his image, who's given us his son, who's given us hope. And then in that, you know, Jesus says, if you want to save your life, give it away. Lose your life. Lose your life, and you'll save your life. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And so he says, give. And you are givers of all that you've been given, your time, your treasure, your talents. And then we're sent with the message of reconciliation to God. So Paul says we're ambassadors. We've been given a message that we are to deliver. We've been reconciled to God through the work of Christ, and then we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, and so we're sent. That's who we are. That's language we've used for 11 years now. It's foundational to who we are. It's biblical. It's who Christ is making us and has made us to be. Distilled up from that, what matters most? What do we value? And that's one of the questions we asked this week and reshaped our values. So we value community. And you've been around here for a few weeks, you get we value community. Authenticity has been a buzzword and really a hallmark of our church, but it's been that because you can't have real community without being authentic with each other. And so we've, you know, been specific and strategic about creating an authentic community. We believe you'll be formed in relationships, spiritually you'll be formed in relationships where you love and you're loved. And you can't have good discipleship without meaningful, get-in-your-face, sometimes dysfunctional because we spend so much time together, relationships. And that's important to us, you know, where you speak the truth and love to each other. That's important to us. The gospel, we value the gospel tremendously. It starts and ends with what God has told us is true about him and ourselves. Truth is not something that we believe we're supposed to discover. We believe the truth has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus and the words that God's given us about him. And Jesus says the whole thing's about him. And so it's going to tell us things that we want to hear. It's going to tell us things that we don't want to hear. It's going to tell us things that are easy, and it's going to tell us things that are difficult. But that story, the gospel encompassed in the whole Bible, is what's valuable to us. And it tells us good things. We're made in his image. We're created for good works, which he's, you know, prepared beforehand for us to walk into, eternally lasting good works, but we're fundamentally flawed and have a problem that we can't solve on our own. We need him to fix for us, and he's done that in the gospel and given us the power of the Spirit to change us and conform us to his image. The gospel is valuable to us. We value generosity. We're blessed in order to be a blessing to the people around us. Paul says at one point, God richly provides us with everything to enjoy, but he's called us to be generous and to be ready to share with anyone in need, whether that's time, whether it's love, whether it's talent, whether it's money, to be ready to share. And Paul says in that, we will take hold of that which is truly life. And so generosity is valuable, and we value mission. And so Jesus talked about the gospel in terms of the kingdom of God is here. And that's because of who Jesus is and what he's done on our behalf. The kingdom of God is possible, where God can get things the way that God wants them. And that's what we all want, but Jesus says that's going to happen from the inside out. That happens as we individually surrender to him as king. And when we do that, our relationships are changed, and then our families are changed, and our churches changed, and our communities are changed. And that mission starts on the inside as we work with God to be a part of the things that he's doing in the lives of the people around us. So mission matters. And so those are the things we would say are our values: community, gospel, generosity, and mission that we value as a church. Someone this year pointed this out to me. He said, your organization can have actual values, and you can have aspirational values, and then you can have accidental values. Anybody ever heard this before? Okay, a few people. And this was helpful for me. So they said, there are things that you actually value. You think are important. You believe these things should be important to you as an organization. Then you look out in the life of your organization and they're lived out as if they're important. They're actual values. You can have aspirational values. And so you think they're a value. They ought to be important to you. But when you look in the life of your organization, they're really not, you don't live it out like it's that important. So you're aspiring for that to be a value. And then there are things that you probably don't even recognize are there that you don't want to be important, but when you look into the life of your organization, you might think that they're important. And so when we look at that list of values, we think that community and gospel and generosity are things we think ought to be important. When we look into the life of the church, those things really are lived out as if they're important. So they're actual values for us. Mission is something that we know should be important, but particularly as it comes to locally, with our friends, our coworkers, our roommates, our classmates, our neighbors, the people that, you know, God wants us to be involved in what he's doing in their lives, this, we don't live that out as if it's important as it ought to be. And so to some degree, that's an aspirational value. And then there is what we think is like an accidental value that we can't quite put our finger in on, but it's somewhere in the complacency, passivity, maybe a fear, maybe a lack of faith, or maybe just thinking about stuff too much and not doing enough, is some accidental value for us that we're working to kill because we think it's detrimental to what God wants to do through a church. And so those are our, that's how we're looking at our values. From there, if you go to why do we exist, why does God have us here? And discipleship is really what wraps up everything. A disciple is someone who's a family of learners, lovers, and givers sent. That's a group of disciples. A disciple will value these things. Discipleship is how God, that's God's plan for changing things. And so we exist to make disciples who make disciples. And I'll take this back to Genesis, to the beginning. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And then he says to him, he blesses him and says, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. This is the first great commission in the Bible where God says, I've made you in my image. Now go fill the earth with my image. That's what you're here for. You're here to make God look good. Now, sin messes that up. And so the story of the Old Testament is the looking forward to Jesus. Jesus redeems us. He pays for our sins in a way that we couldn't, redeems us from them, rises from the dead, makes us into new creation, gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says we're being conformed to the image of Christ. And so his image again. And then Jesus, before he goes, before he returns to heaven, he gets his 11 disciples in Galilee on the mountain. They come and worship. And then he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in my name, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. And so you can hear in that the second great commission. Be fruitful, multiply as disciples, and fill the earth with my glory. Be conformed to my image. And so that's what the church is here for. So I'll say this. If you're a part of Oak City Church, if you consider Oak City your church and you're not actively working to make disciples of Jesus, if you don't get that this message is powerful enough to change people's lives and really the only thing that's powerful enough to change our city and to change our world, if you don't believe that God wants you to be a part of the things that he's doing in the lives of the people around you and you're not active in that, then you're not being a good disciple. Like, just built into the definition. And if you don't think that's part of the job description of being a disciple, then we need to talk, because it's all through it. It's inescapable that we are a part of that plan. And so that's our mission, is to be good disciples, to grow as disciples, to become better disciples, but to seek to be a part of what God's doing to make disciples. Our vision in that, you know, if we live out those values through that mission, if we get what we want, and Jesus, I think, sums this up in the kingdom of God, you know, praying that the kingdom would become a reality on earth as it is in heaven. If God gets his way through us, if God gets his way, what will things look like a year from now, 10 years from now, 25 years from now? And expressed through those values, that with community, we would want to be a people with authentic relationships that lead to spiritual growth. So a people that aren't hiding, but a people that really feel free to look in the mirror and see themselves as they really are, and then confess that to each other. Not just because they want to feel bad about stuff, but because that's going to lead to growth. Like a people that are free to share the deepest things in their hearts and their souls with the expectation that they're going to receive grace and truth in that, in response, both of them. Because you need grace, but you also need truth, and that's how change happens. A group of people that's free to challenge each other. There's a question that in the past I've thrown out to our core groups. It goes like this: what do you know about me that I don't know about me, that you don't really want to tell me about me because it's going to be an awkward conversation? And what do I know about you that I'm pretty sure you don't even get about you, and I don't really want to talk about it because it's going to be hard to talk about? When we get there, then we're getting into good biblical community that God can use to grow us in the way that he wants to grow us. That's what we want to see. We want to see people that routinely encourage each other about the change that we see happening in each other's lives and how God is using us in the lives of the people around us and really encouraging each other in that. We want to see people praying together, like on the fly, spontaneously, because we're people that realize just how much we need God. And we need him right now in this moment. And so we pray together spontaneously. We want people caring for each other well in good times and in bad. A church that wants to spend time together and wants to see other people invited into that community. Jesus said they'll know you're Christians by your love for one another. And so the people around us are supposed to look at that and say, man, that's the way life is supposed to be. I want to find out what's going on there, and I want to be a part of that. That's our vision for that. You wouldn't be here for very long if you didn't want that, because it's so prominent in the things that we do. And with that, our goal is not to fill up this room on Sunday mornings and get a bigger room, but our goal is to fill up this room on Sunday mornings and get another room, probably on the southwest side of the Raleigh area somewhere, because so many of you come from that area. And we want that because we believe that community and mission happen best in proximity. And so we want to be in better proximity to each other. And it's how we see growing as a church. That's vision. The gospel, like in that, we want to see a people desperate to have every aspect of our lives shaped by the gospel. And this was the thing that was most stunning about this this Russell Brand deal, is because he seemed to understand that his motivation, our motivation for Amazon Prime, and it's not just Prime. I don't want it in 2 days. I want a drone to have that thing here now, because I've seen some bright, shiny object that I really want that's going to make me happy, and so I want it now, you know? Like, we keep doing this. Like, we want things that will, our phone is there now. I want that satisfaction now. And he connects the dots that that is a spiritual longing. And that's what the gospel does. It'll explain everything that's going on in your heart, in your mind, and your soul. And so we envision a community where we get that and we long for that. And so we're seeking to understand how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in every aspect of our lives. And we're pursuing him, not passively, not just waiting for somebody to tell us something, but we're pursuing it on our own. 125 people committing to read through the Bible in part or in whole for a year. That's that. Like, that's people going to the source and seeking to find out how the gospel matters in my life every day. And that's what we want. We see a people generous, a people that recognizes the abundance God's blessed us with and responds by blessing those around us. A people that stops, you know, over time we stop chasing after the bright, shiny objects the world offers because we realize God is better. And there's just a bunch of false promises in this. A community of people that's radically, sacrificially generous with their time, their emotions, and their money. That's willing to dare great things for God because they think God is really, really big. A church that sacrifices in a way that the people around us would say, man, if that stuff isn't true, then they have thrown their lives away on it. Because that's what Jesus calls discipleship to look like. And so that sacrifice doesn't make sense apart from God being real, apart from the message of Jesus being real. Last year, between 2016 and 17, over a 12-month period, we challenged the church to give $100,000 over our normal operating budget. So 25% of our budget over in a year-long period. And we made it. And all that money was going out the door to Sunika and Dynamic Water and Global Hope India. And that's a picture of, like, sacrificially, radically giving as a church in big ways, and that's what we feel like God wants. He's calling us into more of. We want people to think, man, our city is better off because that church is here, because they have been a blessing to the people around them. And so that's what generosity looks like if we live it out well. And mission, we want a people with a burden to be a part of what God's doing in the lives of the people around us, leading to people placing their trust in Jesus. And I long for the day when we, who consider Oak City Church our home, wake up, all of us wake up, and are quickly reminded of a burden that God's given us for a handful of people in our lives, that God is doing something in their lives and he wants us to be a part of it. So that we're begging God, and I do this, beg God for the chance to be a part of what he's doing in the lives of some people that he's placed in my life that aren't in relationship with him, I beg him for a chance to be a part of what he's doing and for him to do things. And so in that, I look for chances to have gospel conversations with them, to demonstrate the gospel to them. I look for opportunities to explain the guts of the gospel and to invite them into either relationship with Christ or to see what it looks like through the church. And so if we become a people like that, that is desperate for that and asking God for that and looking for those opportunities and then getting ourselves ready for those opportunities, not waiting for someone to get us ready, but read a book or go on YouTube and watch some videos with people, questions that people ask, and we'll do some things, but you need to do some things. Then we're going to see God work through our church in ways that we have not seen God work through our church. When mission moves from being an aspirational value to an actual value for us. All that I would wrap up with, we want to become a people so filled with the gospel, community gospel, that it can't help but flow into the lives of those around us, generosity and mission. And so that's what we're after. That's what we're after and where we want to go as a church. Now, this last question is, how will we get there? And I've asked Pat to come up because Pat, he spends most of his time here at the church, like living in this area of strategy and how we're going to get from here to there. And so I've asked him to talk through a few of these things, and starting with language. So we're introducing some new language, gather, grow, give and go, that he's going to talk about here. That really, it expresses all this stuff just in active form. And even changing language to an active gather, grow, give and go, instead of having family of learners, lovers, and givers sent on the wall, is moving from passive to active. So recognize that is a part of trying to kill the accidental value that we have at Oak City Church.
That's right.
Hi, Pat.
Hey.
Everybody say hi, Pat. Good job.
Morning.
Yeah.
Nice and unawkward. You may have found a card that looks like this one. And this card is a breakdown of everything that Jeff just talked about. It's got our mission, our identity, our values, and our strategy, and our vision on it. It's way more than you need to think about or that you ever need to really know. If you are a part of our church, and you have been for some time, or if you're interested in becoming a bigger part of our church and living life in our church, then you kind of live in this strategy box: gather, grow, give, and go. And those come straight from our values, where if we value community, we'll gather. If we value the gospel, we'll grow in it. If we value generosity, we'll give. And if we value mission, we'll go. And so kind of whether you know it or not, that's how you live your life here as a part of our church. So what I want to do right now is just kind of talk through those in probably more detail than you're going to remember, but I want to put it out there just so we can start the year off kind of on the same mindset. When it comes to gather, if you look on the back of that card, what you'll see at the top of that list is it says Sunday mornings, Sunday morning gathering. Our church family gathers together in a lot more ways than Sunday morning, right? We have core groups and men's ministry and women's ministry, and then home groups is a big one. But primarily when we say gather, we mean Sunday morning. If you're going to be a part of our church, then you just got to be here on Sunday morning, man. You got to come to church. Something supernatural, something really special happens here when the body of Christ gets together on Sunday mornings that you just got to be a part of. When the whole body of Christ, right, the bride of Christ, gathers to hear the Bible preached and pray together and worship together, there's something kind of undefinable there that honestly you've just got to be a part of. And so come to church. It's really important. That's what we mean by gather. We also gather in other ways. I wrote down in my notes that home groups is a really big one, but men's and women's and core groups. But honestly, home groups is really the big one. Home groups is just probably one of the backbone of our church. It's in home groups where we most live out our identity as a family, our value of community. I tend to think of us as a church, not so much a church that has some home groups, but it's a church of home groups. And so home groups are really important and always have been in this process. Yeah. Anything to add?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go.
Yeah.
Oh, just yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been important.
Yeah.
That's true. And they will continue to be important. Honestly, when it comes to gathering, we're not changing that much in terms of our strategy. We just want to point out to you that gathering together as a family is hugely important. So maybe you've been hanging around here for a long time and you're not gathering in all the ways that you could be. We want to encourage you to get plugged in and gather together.
And community is the value, I think, the people, when we asked people about family, learners, lovers, givers, sent last year, and we asked our leaders, like, which of these do we do best? Family, hands down, was the winner. And then learners, and then givers,
Yep.
And then sent.
Yep.
And lover is kind of ambiguous. So it's wrapped up in all those things. But family was the best. The reason that family is the best and the reason that community is the value that we probably live out the best is because our home groups have always been something, we've always emphasized it.
Yeah.
It goes along with authenticity. It goes along with believing that discipleship happens in relationships.
Yep.
And so with that, you can. It doesn't always feel like that's, you know, week to week, it doesn't always feel like you're getting a lot done there, but you're always getting a lot done there. Because right. you're learning to love each other well and to know each other. And it's not always the people that you would choose to be with. I'm just not saying anything to my home group because I know you're here right now. I want to be with you. But it's not. Like, they're mostly proximity-based. And so it is sometimes people that you wouldn't necessarily be with that you learn to love over time. And, man, that's it. You know?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. If you want to be involved in the life of Oak City Church, then you've got to gather. So, but you've also got to grow. We don't gather for no reason at all. This is not like a book club or it's not a gathering of Metallica fans or something like that. Though that can be good. We are gathered together to grow in the gospel. And that's super important. Like, you know, I think about how all scripture is useful for training in righteousness. Paul tells us to speak the truth to one another in love so that we grow up into maturity into Christ. And so there's sort of a progression there. Sanctification is the big Bible word where we want to grow together in the gospel. And so learning is really important. If you look on in the back of your card, you'll see ways to grow. But men's ministry, women's ministry, we've got a Bible reading plan that we're doing together this year. Really great. On top of that list has got to be home groups. And that's because of everything that Jeff just said in relation to family. We really firmly believe that discipleship growth will happen best in relationship with each other. And at our church, if you're going to be in close relationship with other people, that happens in home groups. You can't just come here on Sunday morning and expect that you're going to build the types of relationships with people where you have to live out the things that you learn in the Bible together. It just won't happen. But when you get in a home group with somebody and you start kind of living life with those people, then you have to live out the one another's of the scriptures together in community. And so that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where growth is going to happen. And so home groups form the relational soil, if you will, where growth is going to happen. So obviously, when you think of growth, you think of teaching. Teaching has always been really important with home groups, and I would assume it will continue to be. But we've learned over the last decade that teaching in home groups can be really hard. It's hard to know what to teach, how to do it. It's tough. How to lead a discussion. Is it a teaching time? Is it a discussion time? It's just really hard, and it looks different from group to group. And, you know, Jeff mentioned being passive. Honestly, one of the things that I regret doing over the last 5 years or so is being incredibly passive in terms of what home groups are teaching. And so people have just kind of been left to their own devices to figure out what they want to teach, how they want to teach it. And I regret that. And I feel like the Lord has shown me an error in those ways. And so in a biblical sense, I want to repent of that in front of you guys and turn and begin to do what I think I need to do, which is be a lot more active in what home groups are teaching and what they're learning and studying. It's incredibly important. Part of that is taking advantage of a lot of the great resources that we already have at this church. We've got things like the Precept Bible Study class. We've got the Theology class. We've got Starting Point. If you're new to the faith or you're just checking it out, it's a great resource.
How many people have taken either the Precept or one of the Theology courses or Starting Point? How many people have been through that? So most of you have. They're really well done. They're really well done. And so we want to figure out a way to make that easier for groups to kind of work those things together.
Yeah.
Over the last decade, as we've put kind of almost in a way the entire weight of ministry on home groups, what we've done is we've pushed out those types of things from the life of many people in the church because they've been so slammed by being a part of their home group that they haven't been able to participate in other things. And that's regrettable. And so we want to make space for that in our groups going forward.
So we've got some of those courses scheduled in the late spring and in the fall. And then we're going to be talking to home group leaders about the possibility of signing your home group up for one of those classes, so your home group time is devoted to one of those classes, and so those things end up melding together.
Yeah. You'll see out there on the book table in the lobby, it's the Connect table, really, but there's some books there. There's more of these mission, vision, strategy cards, and there's a brief overview of the calendar for the entire year. Grab it and put some of this stuff on your calendar. One thing I will mention in terms of calendars is that the men's ministry and the women's ministry here at Oak City have got awesome 2018s planned out. The women are planning the IF gathering, and there's a group who's talking about going to Indianapolis for a conference in the summer, and
The men have a really cool calendar planned out with some serving opportunities and different breakfasts throughout the year. I'm excited about that stuff.
Yeah, I am too. Like, I know about that. I don't know what the women have planned. I know more what the men have planned. And if you're a guy, it's going to be a schedule that's planned out. You're going to have dates, and I would encourage you to make a point of being at those. There's going to be some specific material that we're trying to work through and discuss together. It'll be very, very guided and directed with goals in mind.
Yeah. Provide a great opportunity to grow. If you're a dude, there's some books on the book table out there. The little blue books called Discipleship. Grab one of those on your way out. They're free. We've got a breakfast coming up in a couple weeks. It's the 20th. 7 a.m. You're up anyway. If you're not, you should be. So come eat breakfast here. The first one is $10. After that, it's free all year long. So come here. We'll have you out in like 70 minutes. That's the goal. Be a part of that. Grab one of those books on the way out. So we gather, we grow, and the next thing is we give. We value generosity. Givers of everything we've been given, and so we want to give. This looks like generosity just in every way, man. People serve on Sunday mornings. People give their time and their money and their energy and their resources to serve Jesus' church in all kinds of different ways. And so we support Sunika. We support orphans in India. That all looks like generous giving. We've got a renewed focus here for 2018 that looks like really improving and providing more opportunities to give locally.
Yeah, we feel like that's been a gap in being effective as a church. We do well internationally because when we started the church, we said we're going to focus on a couple different organizations because we want to spread ourselves too thin. And people are generous with their time and talent here in the things that we need to get done as a church. But we haven't been a blessing to our community the way that we feel like God wants us to be a blessing to our community.
That's right. Yeah, and honestly, that's just because we haven't tried. We've been incredibly passive and from a leadership perspective in that. What we said to the church early on was, you should find something that breaks your heart, and you should do something about it. And if you can't do something about it, you should talk to your home group about it and see if your home group can do something about it. And if the home group can't do something about it, talk to the whole church, and the whole church will do something about it. Honestly, that hasn't just happened a lot. We've gotten a few things done through that method, but mostly, again, we've been passive in finding opportunities to lead the church in that. And so we've got some opportunities right in front of us. I don't know if you guys know Ben and Tiffany Olson, but Tiffany does a lot of the graphics here at church. She made the calendars and the cards and stuff like that. But her husband, Ben, leads the Smithfield Rescue Mission, and where they are, as we speak, housing men and women, single moms and their kids who would otherwise be on the street tonight when it's 7 degrees. And it's a huge opportunity to bless them. And he works really hard at that, and we're going to work hard to rally around him this year. We've got, for the past couple of years, we've been involved with the Oaks at Whitaker Glen, which is an assisted living community on Whitaker Mill. We've sort of given you the option to be involved in running church services there, where our church will go bless them just by running a service that they otherwise wouldn't have. And so it's really easy. You go sing some songs, someone teaches a short lesson, you take your kids, they love it. And it ends up, when I go, it's more of a blessing to me than it is for them. I'm sure that that's true. We've presented that as an option, but this February and then in November, I think, we want your home group to sign up and take a Sunday where you go put on a church service for the folks over there. It's a huge blessing for them, and it's a great opportunity for us to give and serve that community. So stuff like that is what we have planned for 2018 to live out our strategy as givers. So,
and that is moving from, it's making some of those things more intentional. It's trying to kill the accidental value of being passive and moving to things being more active. And so some of those for home groups are going to move from opportunities to expectations. And so Family Promise has always been an expectation for groups. We really want your group to be, and we need your group to be involved for that, for us to pull it off as a church. We put the Oaks at Whitaker Glen into that category. We've told them we'll do 2 months this year, and we want your home group to take one Sunday and say, this is our Sunday, we'll make it happen. And that's how we're going to communicate that to home groups, because that's what it's going to take for us to be more effective with that. And it's going to be similar with the things that we do with the Smithfield Rescue Mission.
That's right.
And a few other opportunities, expectations, not opportunities.
Yeah. If you want to be a part of Oak City Church, you gather, you grow, you give, and the last thing you do is you go. And this comes out of our identity as people who are sent. We value the mission that Jesus sent us on, and so we want to go together. And we've got a lot of cool stuff coming up in 2018 that I'm excited about. We've got a home group study coming up starting next week called Gospel Fluency, where we want to try to apply the truths of the gospel of Jesus to our lives, to my life individually, to our life as a church, but then also learn how to see other people in light of the gospel and learn how to speak it more effectively into their lives because they don't yet believe it and they need to. And so it's sort of a way to help us see the world more in light of the gospel. So that's happening. That's super cool. The week after Easter, we're going to have a big Sunday called Invite Your One. We're going to launch this next week, or in a couple weeks, I guess, where it's really a campaign where we're going to challenge you over the course of a couple weeks to identify one or two people who you are uniquely sent to, who God has put in your life to reach out to and share the love of Christ with and show the love of Christ to and invite to be a part of this body. And we're going to ask everybody to come on one given Sunday and greet them and welcome them and love on them. And then the week after that, we're starting a series called Explore God. That's designed to answer questions that new believers might have. But honestly, it seems really cool. Questions that I probably still have as a believer, just to address some of those things. If there's ever a time to invite people to church, this is a good series to do it.
Yeah, and that's a series that we're doing, and 50 other churches in the Triangle are doing, and it's based on a group of churches in Austin. 350 churches in Austin did the same series all at the same time. A lot of people were praying for God to be able to use what they were doing, and that's what we're doing in Raleigh too, just to work together as churches to ensure that every man, woman, and child has an opportunity to hear the gospel, and that we're speaking the same language and on the same page. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people that are really excited about that, but it will be a great opportunity to invite the people in our lives that we think they're curious, like God's doing something, we're not sure what, and say, here's something that you should check out.
Yeah. If you remember 20% of everything I just said, I would be amazed, absolutely shocked. But I would love for you to take one of these cards and just remember that we've got a plan for this year, that it's intentional, that it's on purpose. I was thinking the other day about a football team who, imagine a football team, and their coach said, guys, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to win. And then, you know, practice started for the season, and they got out there, and they're like, guys, win. Just go win. Yeah. They're all excited. And then they got to the first game, and they got on their uniforms, and they're all excited. They go out there, and they say, Coach, what are we doing? And the coach says, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to win. They've not no game plan, no strategy. They got no offensive plays. They got no defensive scheme. And it's not a recipe for success. We haven't been that untactical or unstrategic in our operations. We've had a lot of thought behind what we've done. But honestly, guys, I'm really excited about focusing our attention on being active and intentional about gathering, growing, giving, and going together. And I think if we can be intentional and live this out well, then we will be obedient, first of all, to what God wants us to do, but also just be a lot more effective. And that would be good.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Be thankful for Pat. Let me say just a few things to wrap this up, and one of them is we're going to have a potluck next Sunday night, so the 14th. This is really just community, family. We're just going to get together, share a meal together, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time in here afterwards praying for what's coming up this year, and so just asking God for his blessing and the things that we're attempting as a church. And so we invite you, we'd love for you to be a part of that next Sunday night. We, if you're newer to Oak City Church, if you're new a few weeks, you're new a few months, we want you on board, and we need you on board. The church is the body of Christ, and it says the Holy Spirit has gifted people uniquely to play their part in that body, and until everybody's playing their part in that body, the body doesn't look as much like Christ as it's supposed to, and that's true of our church. And so if you're newer, we want you on board. One of the things we're doing is we're going to start doing something on the first Sunday of every month after second service. We're going to have something called Next Steps for people that are new to the church that want to figure out what we're about and where we came from, who we are individually, and then just how they can be a part of that, ask some questions. We're going to do that right after second service, first Sunday of every month, called Next Steps, because we want people that are newer to get involved more quickly. We want to make it as easy as possible. And so if you're newer and you want to start serving, you should find a home group. There's a map on the wall out there that has a list of the home groups and information about how to contact them. That's on the website. You contact them, find out when they're meeting, and just check out a couple of them and see where God wants you to be. We've got opportunities, you know, with our media team, with our guest services team, our hospitality teams to serve. Jump right in and to serve. serve and be a part of things that are really critical, because people make their decision about what this church is about within the first few minutes. Before anything happens up here, people have made that decision. And so we've got people devoted to making sure that we are as welcoming as we can be to folks that are new. If you've been here for a few months, we need some help in our children's ministry team, being missionaries to our kids and to our students. We've got 25 or 30 middle school and high school students that are incredibly important to us. Three of them especially, because they're mine, they're really important to me. And we need some folks. We've had some turnover on our male leadership team, so we need some folks to step into that. You need to be on board and to be a part, and we need you to be a part of it. So that's one thing. If you're here and you're new to all this and the gospel is new to you, there is a point in time, and you may not necessarily know when it happened. I've met people that don't know what happened, but there's a point in time where you understand who Jesus is, what he's done for you, and just how much you need that. And you say, I want to follow you. I believe in you, and I want to follow you and become your disciple. If you need help getting to that point, if you're at that point, we invite you into that before we invite you into any of this, because this doesn't matter without that. And if you're at that place, you should get baptized, because that's what he tells you to do, and it's a symbol of new life in Christ. And you are, according to the Bible, a spiritual infant. And we were all there at one point, and we just made a mess of things because we didn't know what to do, because that's what infants do, right? And so you need the church to help you just to learn how to take those first few steps and to learn to walk as a toddler in your relationship with Christ. And that is what we are here for and really what we most desire to do. So please let us know, and let us know how we can help you in that. And then finally, I'll say this. There's a proverb that says, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. And we've tried hard this last year as leaders, talking through these things to have prayed through them before we've talked through anything, recognizing this is just not our work. And to the extent that we make it our work, nothing will happen. There's a psalm, and we sang this in one of the first songs, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Father, we come to you because this is your work, and you have done your work in us. You have taken us who were dead in our trespasses and sins and made us alive in you. You've called us to yourself. You've given us hope. You've given us a vision of what the kingdom could look like in our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in this church, in our neighborhood, in our city, in our world, God. And we want to be a part of the things that you were doing to make that a reality, God. And so we pray your blessing on not just this church, but your church, God, and on this church, that you would work in us and that you would work through us to make your kingdom a reality on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name.